ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम। We'll discuss about Lord Krishna's affectionate nature from first canto, 10th chapter, departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. So here is a verse which says, Ajat Shatru Pritnam Gopi Thaye Madhudishaha Parebhye Shankitaha Snehat Prayungta Chaturangini. So the translation is, Maharaj Yudhishthir, although no one's enemy, engaged 4 divisions of defense, horse, elephant, chariot and army, to accompany Lord Krishna, the enemy of the asuras, demons. The Maharaj did this because of the enemy and also out of affection for the Lord. Purport. By His Divine Grace, Isi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Natural defensive measures are horses and elephants combined with chariots and men. Horses and elephants are trained to move to any part of the hills or forests and plains. The charioteers could fight with many horses and elephants by the strength of powerful arrows, even up to the standard of the Brahmastra, similar to modern atomic weapons. Maharaj Yudhishthir knew well that Krishna is everyone's friend and well-wisher, and yet there were asuras who were by nature envious of the Lord. So out of fear of attack from others and out of affection also, he engaged all varieties of defensive forces as bodyguards of Lord Krishna. If required, Lord Krishna himself was sufficient to defend himself from the attack of others who counted the Lord as their enemy. But still, he accepted all the arrangements made by Maharaj Yudhishthir because he could not disobey the king who was his elder cousin. The Lord plays the part of a subordinate in his transcendental sporting, and thus sometimes he puts himself in the care of Yashoda Mata for his protection in his so-called helplessness of childhood. That is the transcendental leela or pastime of the Lord. The basic principle for all transcendental exchanges between the Lord and His devotees is exhibited to enjoy transcendental bliss for which there is no comparison, even up to the level of Brahmananda. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuron Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha. Hare Krishna. So we welcome all of you to today's program. So to glorify Lord Shri Krishna and for our purification, we'll discuss on this verse. So here we see the affectionate dealings between the Lord and His devotees. That it is said that although it was not needed for Lord Krishna to take all this army, but still He accepted this army because with lot of affection, Yudhishthira Maharaj gave this army to Lord Shri Krishna. And before that also, if you see in this chapter, Lord Shri Krishna is taking very submissive, humble situation, position in front of Yudhishthira Maharaj. After the battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Shri Krishna wanted to leave immediately to Dwarka. But then Yudhishthira Maharaj requested the Lord that please stay for some more time. And Lord immediately accepted that request because he begged the permission from Yudhishthira Maharaj. So basically he accepted his request so that he can pacify Subhadra, he can pacify Uttara. At the same time he wanted to give favor to Bhishma Dev. Also at the same time, he wanted to follow the instruction of Yudhishthira Maharaj or request of Yudhishthira Maharaj. So in all these reasons, we find that Lord's purpose was that he just wanted to please his devotees. And that is the only goal of the Lord, that he has only one purpose in his life, that he wants to please his devotees. He wants to satisfy his devotees. And his devotees just want to satisfy him. Otherwise, what is the need for the Lord to ask permission from his devotees? Lord is Swatantra, Lord is independent. But in many pastimes, in many leelas of the Lord, we find that Lord is asking permissions to do some things in his pastimes. So Lord asked the permission, and the second time again he asked, and this time Yudhishthira Maharaj gave the permission. And when he gave the permission, then again Lord actually bowed down, because Yudhishthira Maharaj is the elder cousin of Lord Shri Krishna. And then because although Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead and Yudhishthira Maharaj knows it, still just to follow the etiquette, he received the obeisances, and then as elder cousin he embraced Lord Shri Krishna. And after that, Lord departed. Now Lord is going to depart. So Prabhupada writes in the purport that Lord takes pleasure when some of his devotees accept him as less important in terms of love. Like everybody approaches the Lord as if, like order supplier, or as if you fulfill all my demands. But this Gaudiya Vaishnavism, the books of Prabhupada teach us that we don't have to just approach the Lord in the form of just asking something. Lord becomes very happy if somebody give him something in the form of, like, Mother Yashoda is actually in the mood of protecting her son. Yudhishthira Maharaj is worrying about his welfare, that if enemies attack the Lord, then what will happen? So actually, there is no need for Lord Shri Krishna to accept all this army. There is no need for Lord Shri Krishna to ask the permission. But this is the dealings of love. This is the dealings of affection. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an intense desire to go to Vrindavan immediately after his sannyas. And his desire was so strong that as soon as he accepted sannyas, he was running very fast towards Vrindavan. He was running at a very fast rate, just chanting the name of Krishna and running towards Vrindavan. And on the way, Nityanand Prabhu tricked him. Nityanand Prabhu told some cowherd boys that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and he asks that where is the way of Vrindavan, so you show him the way of Shantipur. So he came to Shantipur, that Advaitacharya was there at the river, and he brought him to Shantipur. And there also again, there was a big festival, and so many Navadvip Vasis were coming to meet Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Shachi Mata came. And when Shachi Mata came again, Lord Chaitanya was planning to go to Vrindavan, but on the request of Shachi Mata, again Lord Chaitanya decided to go to Jagannath Puri. Because Shachi Mata told that Vrindavan is too far from here, from Navadvip. Because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that in madness I have taken sannyas. So if you want, I can stay with you now at home. So he said, no, now you have taken sannyas. If you stay with me, people will criticize you and that will pain me more. So instead of going to Vrindavan, you go to Jagannath Puri. That is like, just like two rooms in the same house, people always coming and going. So on the request of again his devotee, his mother, he accepted this request and he made his residence in Jagannath Puri. So he was staying in Jagannath Puri, and then on the pretext to search his brother, he went on South Indian tour. And there also, before leaving South India, he was actually asking devotees, but then they were not giving permission, but then he went. They gave permission later on. And then he was saying that I have to go to Vrindavan. And devotees were saying, okay, you can go after this festival, and they were saying you can go after that festival. And they were just postponing his trip. And he was asking again and again, can I go now? Can I go now? And like that, almost 2 years passed. They just kept on postponing the thing. And then Lord Chaitanya said that now you should give me permission. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Yadapi Swatantra Prabhu Nahe Nivaran, Bhakti Ichha Vina Prabhu Na Karegaman. Yadapi Swatantra Prabhu. Although Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is independent, there is no obligation for Lord. Because he is Swarat. Why is Swarat? Because everything is in his control. If everything is in somebody's control, then he only can be independent. He doesn't need anything from anyone. Parasya Shakti Vivideva Shruyate Sobhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyache. He has so many Shaktis, he has so many energies, and they are all waiting in a queue to serve him. So he doesn't need anybody for anything. Only somebody needs something from someone, then he is dependent on that person. So he is not dependent on anybody for anything. That's why he is independent. Still, Bhakti Ichha Vina Prabhu Na Karegaman. Without the desire of his, without the permission of his devotees, he didn't go. Bahut Utkantha Mora Yaite Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying to his devotees that I have such intense desire to go to Vrindavan. And it has increased very much. Tomara Hate Dui Vassar Na Kailuna Gaman. But because of your tricks, for last 2 years I am not able to go. Avashya Chalibe Duhe Karaha Sammati. Toma Duha Bina Mor Nahi Annegati. So now I must go, please, please. Only two, both of you, Sarvam Bhattacharya and Ramanandaraya, without your permission I cannot go. I want to go to Vrindavan through Bengal, because in Bengal I have two shelters, my mother and Ganges. I will take their association and I will depart. And then, devotees very mercifully, they thought, you know, now you have enough tricked with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's not good. So very mercifully, or with lot of love and affection, they said, Lord, who can stop you? You are Swarat, you are Swatantra, please go, no problem. And then Lord departed. So here, the same thing, actually, he doesn't need a permission from Yudhishthira Maharaj, but still he is taking permission, and when he didn't get the permission, he actually stayed back for many months. And now second time he is departing, and again while departing he is, you know, like having a lot of loving exchanges with so many devotees. Some women are, you know, they are just in dilemma. Tears are coming. At the same time, they don't want the tears to come because it's very inauspicious. So it's a very emotional setting when Lord Sri Krishna is departing from this Hastinapur. At the same time, in the next chapter, we will see that Lord Krishna is entering into Dwarka. That's again an emotional setting, that where Lord Krishna is reciprocating in love with his devotees. So here, Prabhupada writes, is a very important line which we'll focus more today. If required, Lord Krishna himself was sufficient to defend himself from the attack of others. He was sufficient. He doesn't need any help from anyone. If you see from Lord Sri Krishna's pastimes and in his incarnations or his expansions pastimes, that he doesn't need anybody's help to defend himself. Like you see the pastime of Parshuram. Parshuram is called Shaktyaveshavata. Parshuram himself alone killed millions of soldiers, millions and trillions of soldiers. In fact, he killed all the Kshatriyas on the planet. So his father Jamadagni was a very great Brahman, and he was having a Kamdhenu cow to, you know, so that he can perform all the yajñas and everything very nicely. But the king there, Kartavirya Arjuna, he wanted that cow. And with force and everything, he stole that cow. And when he stole that cow, Parshuram became very angry. It is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, his anger was like a trampled snake. If somebody put his foot on the snake, how angry that snake becomes. And then he was started chasing Kartavirya Arjuna like lion chases an elephant. So he ran. And Kartavirya Arjuna became very scared. And out of fear, he sent 17 full Akshanis of soldiers. Now this we have to understand what is actually Akshani. Akshani means, according to Mahabharata, one Akshani has 21,870 chariots. And similar number, 21,870 elephants. And 65,610 horses. And 1,09,350 infantry soldiers. So this is one Akshani. Like that, how many? 17 Akshani. In the whole Kurukshetra battle, there were 18 Akshani. So, you can imagine what kind of power was there in front of Parshuram. But Parshuram actually entered into all this midst of this big army and was killing. It said that he was killing with the speed of mind. And when he became little tired, then he started killing with the speed of wind. That was the power of Parshuram. And then he actually killed all of them. And then Kartavirya Arjuna, he had 1,000 arms. And with 1,000 arms, he was having 500 bows and he was shooting arrows. But with one bow, Parshuram cut all his 1,000 of arms. And then Kartavirya Arjuna became very helpless and then he cut his head also and he just fell to the ground. So it is said that this Parshuram, he killed all of them alone, all the Kshatriyas actually. And then 10,000 sons of Kartavirya Arjuna, they became angry and they actually killed Jamadagni in the absence of Parshuram. And then again Parshuram came and killed all 10,000 of them and many other soldiers. So point is that Lord is all powerful. He doesn't need help from anyone. In the case of Jarasandha also, if we see, in Lord battle of Kurukshetra, Lord Krishna didn't fight, but many other pastimes are there, like especially with Jarasandha. Jarasandha would come every time with 13 akshanis of military. And 17 times he came. And all the time Krishna defeated them. Krishna killed all of them. The beautiful description is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that how when Jarasandha had come with his army, it appeared like an ocean, big ocean, is just about to cover the beach. Such a big army. And when Krishna entered into that army, so it appeared as if, because Krishna had a small army in front of Jarasandha, 13 Akshani. The whole army of Kurukshetra was 18 Akshani. So you can understand like 2/3 of that. And when Krishna entered, it was like as if like sun is sometimes covered with the cloudy air and dust. So Krishna was covered with that army. But when Krishna started shooting his arrows, they were so accurate. And those arrows were like a whirlwind of blazing fire. They started killing gradually. Elephant started falling gradually. Horses fell with the neck severed. Chariots fell along with their fighters and drivers and flags. And all the infantry soldiers, they all started falling down. Like a big storm comes and all the trees start falling. And the Srimad Bhagavatam describes that there was a blood flowed just like the waves of a river. There were the rivers of the blood. And this is a very ghastly description, but maybe for 1 minute we can see what is the description given here. Just to understand what kind of fight it was. It said that the arms of the soldiers in that river of blood, they looked like snakes. And heads were like tortoises on that river, you know. You can just imagine. And the dead bodies of elephants like small islands in that river of blood. And dead horses were like sharks. Hands and legs of infantry soldiers, they floated just like different kinds of fish in that river, you know, hands and legs. And hair of soldiers, they floated like seaweeds. Many weeds are there in the river or sea, so they were there in the river. And floating bows of soldiers, waves of the river. And the many ornaments and other things, they were like pebbles and gems, they were there in the river. They were just flowing in that river. So this was the power of Lord Shri Krishna, and he killed all of them actually, leaving Jarasandha alone. And then Balaram caught him. But Lord Shri Krishna told that, please release him, because he will bring more next time. And Prabhupada writes that not a pinch of Krishna's strength was lost. All the soldiers were intact. Although Jarasandha's whole army was killed. So 17 times Krishna killed 13 Akshanis of 13 into 17. How much it comes? 221. So he killed so many Akshanis of Sena. And 18 times when he came, then Krishna ran away. So it's not that Krishna had no power to kill 18 times, but he had a higher purpose. So what is the higher purpose in Krishna's life? To please his devotees. He wanted to please Rukmini. Because Rukmini message had come, so he had a higher purpose. He had to attend to Rukmini. Similarly, if you read in Bhagavad Gita, like many times people blame that Krishna actually convinced Arjuna to fight. Krishna is actually the real culprit. Because of him only the whole battle took place. Arjuna was very shanti priya person, peaceful person, and he wanted a very happy life, peaceful life. He didn't want to kill anyone. It's Krishna who actually convinced Arjuna to kill. But somebody who is weakling, who doesn't have power, he needs to convince someone to get help. Krishna is not weakling or he is helpless. Krishna has all the power. In fact, when he showed the universal form, and the description of universal form given by Arjuna himself, that is saying that all the sons of Dhritarashtra, along with all the allied kings, and then Bhishma, Drona, Karna, all six soldiers, all they were rushing into the mouth of who? Krishna. And when they were rushing, they were smashed between his teeth. And he says, Yatha nadinam bhavo ambu vega samudra meva bimukha dravanti. Like so many rivers, they very fast, in a very fast speed, they enter into samudra, ocean. Similarly, tatha tavami naraloka vira vishanti vakrani bhivjavalanti. All these great warriors are entering into your mouth. And then second analogy he gives, Yatha pradiptam jalanam patanga vishanti nashaye samriddh vega tatheva nashaye vishanti lokas tavapi vaktrani samriddh vega. He says, Yatha pradiptam, like just like moths, they run towards the fire. Similarly, all these soldiers, they are rushing full speed into your mouth. So this was already clear that Lord Krishna has already killed every one of them. So then why Krishna preached to Arjuna to fight? Then again comes the concern. Lord Krishna is very concerned for his devotee. And what is his concern? His concern is that Arjuna is Kshatriya. And being a Kshatriya, his duty is to fight. And if he doesn't fight, then what will come? Infamy will come. People will call him as a coward. So first of all, he will not gain any kirti, any yash, any fame. And secondly, when he try to behave as a beggar, and he go for begging and somebody insults him, then what will happen? He will become angry and he will kill that person. That is like an illegal killing. Like a soldier, instead of fighting on the border, he comes to his village and he start killing his neighbors. So if Arjuna start doing that, he goes to beg and somebody insults him, he just kill him there only. So what kind of infamy will come? So Krishna is very concerned because this is what exactly happened. Once actually this Karna had actually defeated Yudhishthira Maharaj. He wounded Yudhishthira Maharaj. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was brought to camp. And when Arjuna came to know this, Arjuna left the battle and came to meet Yudhishthira Maharaj. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was very happy seeing Arjuna. Imagining that Arjuna has already killed Karna and now has come to meet me. So he said that, oh, I'm very happy that you have come. You have killed Arjuna. You are the real hero. He said, no, I didn't kill him. I was just, I thought that first I should see you. He said, he just started telling all the bad words. You know, he said, what is the use of this, of your Gandiva? What is the use of you? If I knew before that you are not going to fight with full vigor, why should I have begun this fight? And because Arjuna had taken a vow that somebody insults his Gandiva, he will kill him that time only. So Arjuna was ready to kill his own brother Yudhishthira for which he was fighting. He was ready with a sword to kill Yudhishthira. Then Krishna had to intervene again. Hey, what are you doing? You cannot kill Yudhishthira Maharaj. He said, no, I have taken a vow. If somebody insults my Gandiva, I will kill him. So then Krishna had to give him some, you know, different idea that actually if you insult someone, then it's as good as like killing. So Arjuna, you know, started insulting Yudhishthira. That because of you, we went to the forest, because of you, Draupadi was insulted, and so many other things I started telling. And after insulting him, because his war was over now, he was about to kill himself now. He said, now I cannot live. I have insulted my brother. So then again Krishna had to intervene. He said, no, you don't have to kill yourself physically. You can praise yourself. Because by praising yourself, you are as good as you're killing yourself. So then Arjuna was praising himself. So the point which we are trying to discuss here is that it's a concern of Krishna, love of Krishna for Arjuna, that he cannot see his devotee getting deviated from the path of truth. He cannot see his devotee becoming infamous. So that's why with a lot of compassion, Krishna is preaching to Arjuna in a very systematic way. All the yoga system he is telling, even he is giving the Karmakanda section where he is saying that you will get the positive benefit, you know. Like even if you don't want spiritual credit, at least you will go to the heaven or you will enjoy in this world. So from all the angles, he is convincing Krishna. And after convincing, he is not forcing. He is not forcing you follow. Like Hiranyakashipu's kingdom, there was a force. There was a force to everyone. They had to worship me as a god. A big force was there on everybody. There was a force on Prahlad Maharaj also. If Prahlad Maharaj would have accepted that Hiranyakashipu is my god, then there was no trouble for Prahlad Maharaj. But Krishna didn't force. After speaking 700 shlokas, he said, yathechasi tatha kuru. Now as you wish you do, I'm detached. But Arjuna himself said, nashto moha smriti labdha, tat prasadad maya achyuta. That my moha, my illusion has gone by your mercy. So this is the mercy of the Lord. This is the love of the Lord towards his devotee. And when we do something for the Lord, that is actually for our benefit. It's not for the Lord's benefit. Like Prahlad Maharaj is singing this beautiful prayer in front of Narasingadev. Naivatmana prabhurayam nijalabha purno manam janad avidusha karuno vrnite yadyad jano bhagavate vidadhitamanam tachatmane pratimukhasya yatha mukhashri. So Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Navatmana prabhurayam nijalabha purno. Manam janat avidusha karuno vinite. And my Lord, you don't need anything from anyone. You're completely satisfied. If somebody offers you something, that is for his own benefit. And he's giving the example of tachatmane pritimukhasya yatha mukhashri. That if somebody is standing in front of the mirror, and he's decorating himself. So his pritibim, his image, automatically get decorated. So being part and parcel of Lord Shri Krishna, if we serve Lord Krishna, if we offer anything to him, that ultimately satisfies us. It's not that Lord is in need of anything. Lord doesn't need anything. It's for our benefit. His Swarat, he's actually all the Lakshmi Devi, they are serving him. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrama Sevyamanam. There is not one Lakshmi in Vaikuntha. You know, in material world generally we see one Lakshmi photo and that Lakshmi is also, you know, so many coins are coming. That is the only definition of Lakshmi in here we have. But there are actually millions of Lakshmis and they are standing in queue. And there is a description of Vaikuntha is given that there is nothing to do, so they are just brooming, you know. And there is no dust there also. In Vaikuntha. So what they are brooming then? No, they just want some seva, some service, because no service is there. And they are massaging the Lord's feet and they are standing in a queue, they will get some seva. Like morning Gaurangpur was saying that because we don't know what the benefit is awaiting for us, so that's why we are not so enthusiastic to serve. But Lakshmi Devi knows that what is the benefit of serving Lord Shri Krishna. So if Lord Shri Krishna or Lord Vishnu has millions of Lakshmis waiting for him, so does he need anything from anyone? And a chaste woman, she will do anything for her husband. If Lord desire anything, she will do anything for her husband. He's the husband of Goddess of Fortune. He's a Madhava. So he doesn't need anything and so that is a very important thing. Like in the Bali Maharaj pastimes, when Vamandev goes to beg 3 steps of land from Bali Maharaj. So Prabhupada writes in one purport that Lord had not gone to beg from Bali for his own interest. He had no interest, personal interest. Why? Because Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshram Suhirdam Sarvabhutanam Gyatvam Vam Shantim Richati. That he is actually Bhoktaram Yagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Sarvaloka Maheshwaram means he is the Swami, he is the master of all the planets in the material world and in the spiritual world. Both the worlds, he is the master, he is the Swami. So he had no personal interest in begging. But then why did he go? He had gone on behalf of his devotees. He wanted to satisfy his devotees, demigods. So that is the nature of the Lord, that he begged for the welfare of his devotees. So when we offer anything to the Lord, that is for our benefit. That is not for, it's not that Lord is, you know, Lord is in anxiety, oh, now 5 more atheists this day. Already, you know, millions were there, now 10 more have become atheists, now 20 more has become atheists. You know, in one lecture, this devotee was saying, Lord is anivarchaniya. Anivarchaniya means, like, he's not elected by election. He's not worrying about his vote bank. That now this year, you know, 10,000 more have become atheists, now 10,000 more have become devotees. His position is going to be the Lord, whether everybody become atheist or whether everybody become devotee. But it's actually our benefit. If somebody even is building a big temples, so what the temple is also, when Dr. Prabhupada was saying, the temple is like made of bricks, iron, cement. But when Lord Krishna was there on this planet, he made 16,108 palaces only for his queens. And there were many other palaces he had to make in the Dwarka when he shifted the whole thing from Mathura to Dwarka in one night. And each and every palace was filled with so many jewels and gold and ornaments. We cannot even imagine what kind of rubies and motis were there. We can just read those names. I have never seen those motis. Like maybe some of you may have seen. Some names are so special that we don't know what were they. So Krishna does not need our service, but rather when we do something for him, that is for our benefit. Like Srila Prabhupada had gone to Australia, Melbourne, and he has installed Gaurnithya deities there. And after installing the Gaurnithya deities, after a few years again he visited, maybe after a year or two, and he saw the worship of the deities was going on very nicely. And they were dressed very nicely. And then Prabhupada said, so you have so nicely, gorgeously dressed these deities? Very good. If you don't dress them nicely, then Maya will undress you. And that is what is happening nowadays. Because people are not worshipping deities, so they are undressing themselves. You know, because Maya is undressing themselves. There is no need to wear any clothes. Unfortunately, people think that what will my small contribution do? Like we go to beg something from someone, or we say, okay, take this book, give some donation. Everybody thinks like that. If Lord has everything, why does he need my seva? I have my 10,000, 20,000 rupees salary. If I give 500, what difference does it make in his big amount? But actually, that's not for his benefit. Like, you know, this devotee was telling this beautiful story. This king was very honest. And he was expecting his praja, his citizens, to be very honest. He was talking to his minister. See, I'm very honest, taking care of the kingdom very nicely. And you have such a clever minister I have. And you are also very honest. Don't you think that our citizens are very honest? He said, no, my lord, it's not like that. He said, no, how can you say this? He said, if it's like that, you tell them to bring one pot of milk. So he made an announcement. So tomorrow morning, everybody should come with one big pot of milk. And the big queue came actually. There was a big queue. So many people came. And the king told to minister, he said, you are saying nobody will come? So many have come. There are thousands of them are standing in a queue. He said, wait, Lord. Wait, my Lord. And then they told them that you put all of this milk, you know, into that one big tank was there. And everybody very faithfully put one lota, one pot of that into that tank. So then minister told, okay, come, now we'll see what is there in this. And when they saw, what was there? All water. Why? Because each and every one of them thought that you know, everybody is going to bring milk. One lota of mine will, if water is there, what difference does it make? So this is the mentality. Person think that I am going to do something for him. is not worrying that he's saying others are doing what business that they make. Yudhishthira Maharaj is not thinking like that. Yudhishthira Maharaj is not thinking the Lord has all the power or Lord has everything. What this one lota of milk king will do? What will he need? Why will he need this? Yudhishthira Maharaj is offering with isnehat. Here is written isnehat prayukta chaturanginam angini. So this love is a factor because of which Lord accepts anything. One part is that we are trying to understand that Lord doesn't need anything. But if somebody doesn't need anything, then why did he accept then? Because the point is that even if somebody doesn't need anything, if it is given with love, then the person accepts. Very simple example is that if somebody is serving us with a lot of love, the prasadam, like we have gone to somebody's house for a dinner or lunch, and if he's serving us with a lot of love, even if we are full, and he comes and pleaded us, and you know, he just begs us, please take little more. We take little more. That's the love that is accepted there. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya pariyachati. Lord is saying that I accept leaf, water, flower, fruit, and he's considering even flower. Now nobody eats flower. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes in the commentary, the same words come in the Sudama pastime also, that Lord has become so overwhelmed by the love of his devotee that he has forgotten that what I am saying. And if somebody offers even flower, he eats that flower also. And then the proof is there, not the flower, even the peel, even the chilka Lord ate when Lord visited Vidurani. So Vidurani was so overwhelmed in serving the Lord that she was serving, and with a lot of affection and love, tears were coming, and he was throwing the banana, that fruit inside pulp, she was throwing, and she was offering what? Peel, the chilka, to Lord. And Lord was eating. Lord was also not saying that, hey, why are you throwing that? Give me that one. And then actually Vidura came. He said, why, what are you doing? You mad, pugly, what are you doing? You give the main fruit to the Lord. So then she started giving that. At the same time, if somebody insult, and even if chappan bhog are there, you not feel like eating. You go to a place where all the beautiful items, all the items, say all the 5-star hotel of Bombay are brought, and they are insulting you, giving abusive words, or not paying any attention to you, say, jao, khalo, udhar rakha. Nobody will eat. So that's what love is. Like Srila Prabhupada's life, he was very old. He has no appetite. And his sister would come, Pishima. They would call her Pishima. Pishima means him. So she would come and with force she would cook and feed. And Prabhupada would take. You know, how can I say no to her? I have to eat now. That was the love Prabhupada had for his sister. So that is what his love is. And this pastime is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which very much gives that vision. Pastime of Jagdanand Pandit. The Jagdanand Pandit... he had gone to Mayapur, Navdeep, and there actually in the house of Shivanand Sen, he collected a lot of sandalwood oil. They actually made it with their own hands after doing a lot of hard work. And with big matka, with big pot of mud filled with this sandalwood oil, all the way he brought from Navdeep to Jagannath Puri. And after bringing, he told Govinda, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's personal servant, that please offer it to the Lord. Please massage him nicely with this. It's very special oil. And when Lord Chaitanya was told by Govinda, so Lord Chaitanya said, what are you talking about? I'm a sannyasi. If I apply this oil with all this fragrance and I walk, people will say he's a bogus sannyasi, associating with women and all that. You please give this oil to in the service of Lord Jagannath. That way, Jagdanand Pandit's hard work will not be waste. And it will have proper use. You know, they can use it Lord Jagannath's service. So then Jagdanand Pandit asked after a few days, Govinda, so what did happen? What happened? So he said, Lord Chaitanya has told that you please give it to Lord Jagannath. So he didn't give. The matka was there only. So one day Jagdanand Pandit was around. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Jagdananda, please give this oil to in the service of Jagannath. He became very angry. He said, which oil? Who brought that oil? And immediately took that matka and threw it to the ground. and all the oil fell. And he went inside the room and closed himself. For 3 days, he didn't open the door. He didn't eat anything. He was just inside. And then Lord Chaitanya, with a lot of love and affection, and he just very slowly knocked the door. He said, Jagatananda, today I want to eat from your hands. Please cook a nice feast. I am coming after darshan of Lord Jagannath. Immediately, like as if new life has come in Jagatanand Pandit's body. Immediately after cooking, so many preparations, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, and when he saw, there were so many items. But he didn't say anything. He started eating slowly. Very. And he was eating, and the description is given, Puna Puna Pandita Nana Vyanjana Pariveshe, Pandit, Jagatanand Pandit, again and again he was Pariveshe, he was serving items. Bhai Kichuna Balena Prabhu Khaye Harishe. With fear, he didn't speak any word. And with a lot of happiness, happily, he was eating. So that bhai, this fear is not the fear like in the material world. This fear is fear out of love. That if I say anything, he'll become angry again. I have come to, just to pacify him. He was eating. He'll keep on serving. And then he said, Agraha Kariya Pandit Karayala Bhojana Ardena Haita Bhojana Haila Das Guna. That I've eaten already 10 times. Like if somebody eats, say, 5 chapati, then he's eaten already 50 chapatis. Bar bar Prabhu uthite karena man sei kale pandita pariveshe vyanjan. Bar bar Prabhu. As soon as Lord Chaitanya is about to get up, immediately what he brings more. Kichu balite narena Prabhu khaye na tarase na khaile Jagananda kari Prabhu vase. Kichuna boli, he is eating, because if he doesn't eat, he will again fast. And Lord Chaitanya cannot see his devotee seeing fasting. He wants to please him. Tabe Prabhu kahena kari vinaya samman, with lot of humility and respect, he said, Dash guna khayu aila, ebe kare samadhan. I've eaten 10 times. Now please, enough. So this is actually the affection, that although Lord was full in one sense, and one sense Lord doesn't need anything, but he was accepting the love of Jagdanand Pandit. So here, this Yudhishthira Maharaj is also the same way. Another pastime which I was reading, they were celebrating Lord Krishna's birthday. Yashoda Mai, Anand Maharaj, and everybody is just showering so much love and affection on Krishna. All the gopis and Radharani, they have come, they have cooked a nice feast for him. So many other Vrajavasis have brought so many wonderful gifts for Krishna. And then all the Vrajavasis, all the residents of Vrindavan, they are gazing at Krishna. And then they are requesting him that, today you don't have to worry. Today is your birthday. Today is your appearance day. You don't have to worry at all about your cows and calves. Somebody will take care of them. You just be here with us. But after some time, Krishna approached his father. He said, you have brought all of us here, all my friends and all of us here. It's a lot of time now has passed. Now we want to go actually. We want to meet our cows. We want to go to forest. And then immediately they went to their mothers, Yashoda, Rohini and other elderly ladies. And they said, mother, and they understood that now they want to go. So all the elderly ladies, they started telling Krishna that, Krishna, you are not loving your mother, eh? That's why you want to leave? Why you want to leave? You should love your mother. You should love your mother. And then Krishna, bowing down his head with tears in his eyes and smiling a little bit. And then he said, mothers, it's not that I don't love you, but my cows, they will not eat even a mouthful of grass without me. So they don't know what to do. So I'm just thinking about them. So his celebration, the full celebration is going on. Everybody is just paying full attention to him. But he's worrying about his cows. So this is Lord Krishna's love. And Yashoda Mata's love is that she's saying, okay, theek hai. If we don't allow these boys to go, then their heart will break. So let them go. But I'm only fearful that, I have heard that there are so many demons are killed in the forest and they all become big, big ghosts actually. So who will take care of you? So Krishna said, no, mother, they have not become ghosts. Because this land of Vrija is touched by your lotus feet, they all attain liberation. Sometimes we make them some statues of these magical demons and we play with them. So don't worry. We'll just play with the cows. And then Rohini said, please take care of Krishna very nicely. Yashoda tell to Balaram also. So like that, Yashoda Mai is worrying about Krishna and Krishna is worrying about his devotees. And that's what the loving reciprocation. And the last pastime, which I would just discuss a few points from that and complete this presentation. Here is about Sudama. The Sudama, with lot of request, lot of force from his wife, because wife was very much worried about Sudama, that he's not getting anything to eat. I'm okay, okay. If I'm not getting anything, it's okay. But my husband is fasting practically every day. So she could not see the very poverty-stricken situation in his house, in her house, and could see the poor situation of her husband. So she told you, please go and meet your friend Krishna. And Sudama was also not thinking that I'll get some money. Sudama thought, okay, on this pretext, I will be able to see my friend Krishna. So all of us know that story. Sudama went and Krishna worshipped him very nicely. And then Sudama actually slept whole night there. And all of us know that part also, that how Krishna forcefully snatched that a small chivda or chipped rice was given by his wife. And then when Sudama was leaving, so Krishna didn't give him anything actually. Sudama didn't ask and Krishna also didn't give anything. So sometime, you know, somebody, if he's a poor person, if he goes to a rich person's house expecting that some money I'll get, and if he doesn't get anything, naturally he will say, not a single penny he gave, eh? What is the point? But Sudama was not thinking like that. Sudama was thinking that adhanoyam dhanam prape madhyanucherana mam ismaret iti karunko nunam dhanam me bhuri nadadat. He was thinking that if a poor adhano ayam dhanam prape, the person who doesn't have any dhan, any money, and if he gets dhan, if he gets money, and he becomes suddenly rich, then what happens? Then he forgets me, you know. He will forget the Lord. So thinking like this, Lord is so merciful, he has not given me anything. Because if I give him a lot of money, that he will forget me. So my Lord is so merciful. And then he is saying, Kwaham daridra papiyan, kwa Krishna shri niketana. Who am I? Kwaham daridra. I am poor. And papiyan, I am daridra, I am poor, not because of someone, because of my own sinful activities. So he's not blaming anyone. He's saying, because of my own sinful activities, I am daridra. Kwaha Krishna Shri Niketana. And where is Krishna Shri Niketan, in whose chest Shri Lakshmi is residing? He's the supreme personality of God at full of all six opulences. He's still Bahu Bhyam Parirambita. He was embracing me with his... And I am Brahma Bandhu, I am not even a Brahmana. So this is what the consciousness of Sudama. And what Krishna was thinking, according to Acharyas, Krishna was thinking that how can I give anything to Sudama? This gift which he has brought, the chipped rice, is so great that I have nothing to give in return. So I don't want to embarrass him by giving him some wealth. Let him go home and see some small gift from my side. Let him just go home and see that small gift. So this is the consciousness of both devotees and the Lord. Then they both have so much affection for each other that they don't want a business dealing in this regard. So although a person doesn't need, and even if person need, it's not exchanged in the form of a business dealings. And that's why Prahlad Maharaj, when he was asked by Narasimhadev that please ask something, so he's saying that I'm not a businessman, my Lord. I have not come here anything to do any vyapar, any business. I just want to serve you. So this pure devotional service, which is our aspiration, which is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, and we should pray to get this consciousness, maybe if possible in this lifetime or many lifetimes, whenever the mercy will descend, because this is in the hands of the Lord. It's not in our hand. Only when the mercy of the Lord is there, then only it is possible. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was saying that I am trying to offer these flowers for so many years to the Lord. I hope he will accept someday. So although we are doing so many services, we are doing so many wonderful things, it's in the Lord's hand whether he will accept our service, because he's not in need of anything. Out of affection, if we offer, and if he thinks that there is affection in it, he may accept it. So it's a very high platform. It's actually the philosophy of Bhagavatam. We are not qualified to discuss on it. But for purification and for glorification, we are discussing this wonderful subject matter, that how with affection, when Yudhishthira Maharaj offered the big army, although he was not in need, he accepted that big army. Hare Krishna. Is there any question? Otherwise, we'll stop here. Okay, now there is one small question I think they have. Give the mic.
Hare Krishna, Narvat Nam Prabhu. Gee, there is one very important question. I met with an accident in Kali Yuga with my mama's son. He's a son of my mama, that is my mother's brother. This person is getting an attack of another soul entering into his body at proper times, 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock night. And eight jan unko pakad ke rakhte hai, and he is literally in attack of that soul. Puji, aisi jo atmaye hai, ye kaise hamare sharir mein pravesh kar sakte hai, aur ye sab kya hai, aur ye kaun sa dosh hai, aur isse kaise lipat, kyun main unse jabhi us samay baat kar raha tha, jabhi wo andar thi, aur wo mere se baat kar rahi thi, tab maine unhe Hare Krishna bola, aur wo Hare Krishna bola, and then wo itna madhurya bola ke बस मैं खुश हो गया एकदम. हरे कृष्णा एक बार बोल दिया और उसके बाद मैं भी थोड़ा डरा हुआ था, मेरे हाथ हिल रहे थे. वो बोल रहा था कि मुझे आईने से बात करना है, आप सरक जाइए, और ऐसे कुछ बोल रहे थे. मैंने अपनी माला उनके गले में डाल दिया 108 इसकी, बहुत ही सुंदर, और उनके मस्तक पे मैंने तुलसी का ये रख दिया पत्ता. और उसके बाद उन्होंने कहा मुझे इस समय जाना है और मैं फिर से आऊंगा, और वो चले गए. और बाद में वो सोल एकदम शांत था और वो बैठ के ऐसे बातें कर रहे थे, मैं उनके लिए सामने जपा कर रहा था. प्रभु जी ये सब क्या है, प्रभु मैं क्या देख रहा हूँ, और ये ये इतना डरावना है कि उस समय मैं, आज भी मैं भगवान से यही मांग रहा हूँ, एक ऐसा बूंद या ऐसा तीर दो कि उसको मैं खलास करके छोड़ दूं वहां पे.
अरे बोल,
एक्चुअली It's not a very big thing to get confused. Please don't get so much confused about it, because there are evil spirits, in the sense that those who commit suicide, there are some people, those who commit suicide mainly, material nature doesn't award them a new body because they misuse their gross body now. So for a particular period of time, they just left like that. So But they have a subtle body which is made of mind, intelligence and false ego, and mind is the storehouse of all the desires. So all the desires are there, but body is not there. So they haunt the weak-minded people actually. Those are not spiritually strong and they're very weak-minded. And the many incidents, you may listen, it's not that only one of this you are telling. Many people have these experiences and they haunt them, but with the spiritual strength, we can actually chase them away, or we can purify them. So the only way is that we actually become very spiritually and mentally strong, and then only we can help someone. Otherwise, if we are not strong, then we may end up in some problem. So this is not a very big thing. From a scripture point of view, it's a soul which has subtle body but doesn't have the gross body. So that's why they take the help of some gross body and they do sometimes even other things.